Today's Shiur Masechta in the Dorm Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph on the top line. Yesh Alut Tzedaka and Yalut Tzedaka. As we've been discussing, we know that there's a concept of Yodus by Nedarim. We learned it already in the Mishnah Baruch Hashem. And as we've been learning from the previous year, the Gemara goes through different subjects. Task is there halacha of Yodus by these subjects. And the first subject that we're going to discuss today is about Tzedaka. The Rishonim approached this question in two different perspectives. Some Rishonim say that each question that we've been discussing, we discussed yesterday, Kedushin, Peah, we're going to discuss different subjects today, are to be viewed as independent subjects. So Gemara is putting them all together, but each question and each sugya is really freestanding. Other Rishonim explain this Gemara as a continuation of the previous year, and they learn it in the following way. Peah, we had a discussion at the end of the shiur yesterday, is there Yodus by Peah or not? And the way they understand the Gemara Shaila now is, do we say by Peah there's Yodus? Because Peah has certain chumris over Tzedakah. Number one, Peah is something you have to give. It's not voluntary. Tzedakah is voluntary. Number two, Peah, you mekayim the mitzvah as soon as you mafrish the Peah, as soon as you separate it. Tzedakah, you're only mekayim the mitzvah when it comes into the hand of the ani. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, even if you'll say that there's yad by Peah, what is the halacha by Tzedakah? And again, we discussed this yesterday. There's really not much time to review the entire discussion. The Mefarshim ask, as we've discussed, the halacha is that as soon as someone decides to give Tzedakah, the halacha is he's obligated to give it. So how can we have a discussion about yadus? You don't have to say anything. So some of Farshim explain that in order to be over by Yachel, that you violated a vow, that you're only over if you said that you're obligating yourself. And that's the discussion in today's shir. If someone designated Tzedakah through Yodis, will he be over by Yachel? The other explanation, which we said in the previous shir, is that yes, if one decides to give Tzedakah only based on one's decision, the halacha is that that's considered an obligation. But if one decides to articulate, to express the obligation, then it's not considered an obligation until he indeed expresses it and articulates it properly. In fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss a shaila that could come up very often, and is if the halacha is that as soon as you decide to give tzedakah, you're obligated to give the tzedakah. So let's say you're sitting in shul in the morning, and you see people are collecting, and you tend to give, and you take the money out of your pocket, and then the person never comes to you, or for whatever reason, you never give the person that tzedakah. So now you decided to give that tzedakah. You even took the money out of your wallet. What's the halacha? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in the Sefer Derech Amunah, quotes the Chazon Ish, that you should give it to a different ani. Other paiskim say that that's not really considered a designation, and therefore, if the ani never comes to you, you could put it back in your pocket. Rav Shlomo Zalman, interestingly, I don't know if everybody can have all of this in mind when he takes a dollar out of his pocket and he's in the middle of davening, says that when you take the money out of your pocket, you should have in mind that you're not intending that it should be tzedakah until you actually give it to the ani in his hand. And therefore, if the ani never comes to you, it never became tzedakah. I saw from the Bnei Yisascha that the Bnei Yisascha says, he asks a question. Tzedakah is such a big mitzvah, so how come before we give tzedakah, we don't make a bracha? So he says, tzedakah is a very important mitzvah. But if before we gave tzedakah, we would have to make a bracha, and a chassid shiid would put on a gartel, and maybe go to the mikveh, the ani wouldn't be there anymore. We may starve till you finish getting ready for the mitzvah. So just give the tzedakah. So ask the Gemara, yesh yalut tzedakah or ein yalut tzedakah? Is there a concept of yodis by tzedakah or not? Ask the Gemara. Hechidami, exactly what is the situation? Ilaim da omah hadein zuzul tzedakah. Somebody designated a coin for tzedakah, and then he took another coin, and he said, v'hadein nami, and this coin too should be for tzedakah. Says the Gemara, there's no question. Ha'u tzedakah atzmihi. That's certainly that the second coin is a coin to be designated for tzedakah. Ella, the question is, k'goyim da omah hadein, he took one coin, designated it for tzedakah, and in the second coin he said v'hadein, and he didn't use the word nami. also. So what did he mean? My hodein, nami tztaka kamer. Did he mean that this coin should also be tztaka? Or dilma, my vadein, what he meant with the second vahodein was lafkusa ba'alma kamer. This coin is for tztaka, and this coin is for my spending. V'dibur hu delay aske. He just never had an opportunity to complete his sentence. And again, the Rishonim explained, we said this in the previous year, certainly Pasha Pshat is that he meant that the second coin should be for tztaka. But if the halacha is that it has to be articulated properly, until it's articulated properly, it won't be tztaka. What is the basis of the shaila? Says the Gemara, Mi'am meaning kim de iskish l'kabonis. Since we find that the Torah compares tztaka to kabonis, the ksir b'picha, the pasuk says, Nadat kasha debat b'ficha zu tztaka, and the same pasuk that speaks about kabonis also speaks about tztaka when it says the word b'ficha. Just like by kabonis is a neder. We've been learning yesh lem yad, af tztaka yesh la yad. Adumma, perhaps the pasuk about ta'achru iskis is only comparing tztaka to kabonis as far as the halacha about ta'achru, not regarding other halachas. And again, as we said in the previous year, I ain't hekish lemachza. When we find that the Torah compares two subjects, they're compared all the way. One Torah that we explained from the Rishon, the Ran, is that since the Torah doesn't say tztaka explicitly comparing it to kabonis, it's only through a drasha that we say the word beficha means tztaka, and then we say that the pasuk is comparing it to kabonis, so there is no rule of ein hekish lemachza. Or, as other Rishonim say, since there's so many details, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be compared to every little detail. Then two nice words on beficha zu tztaka that I saw. One word is from the Alexander Rebbe, beficha. You know, when somebody decides to give tztaka, when somebody makes a pledge to give tztaka, he's usually very anxious to give the mitzvah. He heard somebody make a nice speech, and that got him excited, and he decided to give tztaka. By the time it comes to write the check, he's not that excited anymore. Says the Gemara, beficha zu tztaka. When you write the tztaka, when you give the tztaka, you should be as excited about the tztaka as beficha when you decided to give the tztaka. Another nice pshat that I saw from the Maram Brisk is that beficha zu tztaka. What is one of the greatest gifts that Hashem gave us humans is that we have the ability to speak, that we have the ability to communicate. Beficha, the ability for us to speak, we should always realize that tztaka is a wonderful, wonderful chesed that Hashem gave us, and we should always be thankful to Hashem for this wonderful gift. Continues the Gemara. Yeshad lehefker, adama enyad lehefker. Again, the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Either it's a freestanding question, or it's a continuation of the previous Gemara. If somebody is mafker something, we know, you could decide something is ownerless. If somebody is mafker something, but he didn't express it properly, is it effective or not? And as the Rishonim and Achroinim explained the Gemara, since typically when somebody is mafker something, he intends that poor people should receive it. Why would I want to be mafker something that a rich person should take it? A rich person doesn't need my items. So it's similar to tztaka, or as the Gemara will suggest, perhaps not. In fact, I saw a very big chiddush from Shlomo Zalman. He says the following. Let's say I'm mafker something, and a poor person ends up picking it up. Was I mekayim mitzvah tztaka? My intention was that anybody could pick it up. It ended up that a poor person picked it up. Am I mekayim mitzvah tztaka? He says, you mekayim mitzvah tztaka. So the Gemara's question is, yesh yad lehefker, adima ein yad lehefker. Ask the Gemara, hainu tztaka, isn't this the same as tztaka? Says the Gemara, no. Intim tzulay mekam. Intim tzulay me yesh yad lehefker. It will say by tztaka, the concept of yadis is effective, then hekish lemechza, because yadis, because tzedakah, as we just learned, is compared to kabonis. Do we say hefker, mir meaning hainu tzedakah? Is hefker the same as tzedakah, like we just said, because typically hefker items end up by poor people? Or then mishani tzedakah, you can't compare hefker to tzedakah. The tzedakah, lechaz yalaniyim, tzedakah is only given to poor individuals. Aval hefker is given bein laniyim, bein lashirim. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, since the halacha is that hefker could be picked up to an usher, by an usher, it's not the same as tztaka. And Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Shimon Shkop, try to connect this Gemara to a Machloikis Tanom. There's Machloikis Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. If Hefker Aniyim, if I made something only Hefker for Aniyim, is it Hefker or not? Beis Hillel says, yes, you can make that type of Hefker. Beis Shammai says, Hefker has to be for everyone. So they suggest that maybe this Gemara's question is only going according to Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Shammai, that says Hefker has to be for everyone, so certainly Hefker is not the same as Stalker. Says Rav Shimon, no, you don't have to learn that way. Because even though Hefker can be is made for everyone, still, since Hefker can be picked up by an Ani, that's why the Gemara considers it like Tzedakah, the Gemara says, no, it also could be picked up by an Asher. Next sugya. Boy Ravina, Yeshav the Beis Akisei. The halacha is, the one may not daven, one may not say a dovish of a gedusha in a bathroom. The halacha also is, let's say you're building a house, and you designate that this area, this room is going to be a washroom. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to daven there already. Now let's say you made that designation with a yad. Will that be considered a designation that you already may not daven in that room or not? Boy Ravina, yeshad lebeis kisei oloi. And again, ask the Gemara, hechidomi, exactly what is the situation the Gemara is discussing? Ilam the Omar Hadain Beis Lahav Beis Akisei. He said this room should be a washroom. Vadein Nami, and the next room should have the same din. Ask the Gemara who Beis Akisei Nami Hava. That's no question, and that's not a yad. It's explicit. Says the Gemara, the question is, Kigoyin the Omar Hadain, Veloy Omar Nami. He didn't use the word also. What does he mean? My Hadain the Omar. So how do we translate that Hadain? Vadein Nami Beis Akisei. Do we say that he certainly meant to designate the second room as a washroom? He only meant this room will be a bathroom, and this room I'll do whatever I want with. Says the Gemara, based on the Gemara that we're learning now, it's obvious to the Gemara that Ravina holds the Yesh Simul Beis Akisei, that if I specifically and expressly designate a room as a bathroom, there will be no question that it has a din of a bathroom. Ask the Gemara from a Bailei Lervina, how are you so sure? The Gemara says, the Gemara Masech the Brachas that we learned, his mina lebeis akisei. If you just designated a room, then actually use it. Mahu. His mina lebeis amerchitz. Or you designated a room as a bathhouse. Tosfos takes out beis amerchitz. Because Tosfos says the beis amerchitz doesn't have the same din as a beis akisei. Mahu, what's the locha? Zimun moyel or ain't zimun moyel? Is designation effective to make it into a beis akisei? So we don't even know if zimun works. So why are we discussing yad? Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Gemara. One question is based on the other question. The first question is, zimun moyel or ain't zimun moyel? Is zimun an effective way of designating a room as a beis akisei? V'in tim tzulayma ye zimun, and if you will say that zimun does make the room a beis akisei, now the Gemara goes with a new question, yesh yad or ein yad, will a yad be effective enough to make it into beis akisei? It says the Gemara tibaylei, all of these shailas that we discussed over the last 2 days, as we've learned, the terminology and Masechta Nedarim is not the same as the rest of Shas. Tiboile is the way the Gemara says Teku in Masechta Nedarim, and the Gemara doesn't answer the Shaila. Certainly, the Pais can say that if you have a room which was designated as a Beis Akisei, and then you redesign, you're doing construction on your home, that would make the room no longer a Beis Akisei, and you could daven, you can make it into a shul. For a moment, we're going to discuss, in over the last 2 days, we have discussed a number of different subjects, if yesh yodos or not. To review, kedushin, peya, tzedaka, hefker, beis akisei. And now that the Gemara left with a teku, the poskim discuss, what is the halach lamaisa? The Rishonim discussed this. So as far as kedushin, that was the first sugya we learned on top of Davova Mabez in the previous year. The Paiskim are pretty unanimous in saying that certainly if one is Makadish, a woman, with Yodis, to Sofak the Raisa, if she's an Ashes Ish, and Lechumra, we have to consider her an Ashes Ish. We're going to skip Pei and Stucker for a moment. Hefker, the Paiskim say, is an issue of mamonis. Was the hefker effective or not? We have a rule throughout Shas, hamaitzi mechaveira olav haraya, and therefore the Paiskim say it's not considered a hefker and the item remains mine. Beis HaKisei, most Rishonim hold it will not be considered a Beis HaKisei. One, because this entire din, that a room that's designated as a bathroom, you're now out of daven, there's only drabonim. Suffolk the rabbonim lekula. The Meiri goes a step further. It's sort of a svek sveka. First of all, we don't know if Zeman is at all an issue. And here it's Yodis, so it's a svek sveka, and we're makel. It's interesting that the Rambam, when he brings down this halacha, the Rambam says, l'chatchili, we should not daven in a room that was designated as a basic kisei, even with a yad. And the Mefarshi HaRambam explain the reason being, because this halacha of a hoya machanecha kadosh, the place that we daven should be kept clean, is a very important halacha that Chazal were extremely concerned about. What about peyah? What about staka? So here we have a machloikas rishonim. The Rashba and the Ramban say staka, peyah is a deraisa, suffolk deraisa lechumra, and we have to give the peyah with its staka that was designated with a yad to the oni. The Ran says the following. He says, we have a rule throughout Shas that if there's an imtim tzoloimer, then one question is based on another question, then we say that it's a proof that the first question was answered l'chumra. So how did we start today's shir? Imtim tzoloimer yesh yad l'peya is the yad l'tztaka. Imtim tzoloimer yesh yad l'tztaka is the yad by hefker. So that would point that we should be machmer. But the Ran says, as we've said earlier in the shir, that could be these connections, these questions, each one an independent child. And he disagrees with what the Ran and the Rashba say, that this is a suffolk deraisa. He says this is the same shayla like we learned by Hefker. It's a shayla of mammon. Is it my money or is it the ani's money? Hamaitzi mechaveira olav haraya, and therefore it should remain mine. And as the Machnafrayim and the Emek Yeshua and the Chassam Sofer explain the machloikis of the Ran and the Rashba versus the Rashba and the Ramban versus the Ran, they explain it in the following manner. The Ran looks at it as a pure monetary issue. Is it my money or is it the Ani's money? The Ran and the Rashba don't look at it as a monetary issue. They look at it as a neder. A neder is an isser, and it's a deraisa. Suffolk deraisa lechumra, and we give it to the Ani. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah spoke about a case where I said menuda nilach. And the lashon of the Mishnah, the halacha was Rabbi Kiva hayachoich bezalachachmer. And as when we learned the Mishnah daf and daf, the way we explained it, Rabbi Kiva was sort of restless. A lot of pshatim, other is chayich means he leaned in that direction. Another is his mouth; he didn't know what to say. They all point to the same thing. He didn't know what to do, and he was machmer. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Maida Rabbi Kiva l'inya malchus. As far as somebody made a nether with this terminology, Shaina Loika. Malchus one won't receive for violating this nether. Dimke, and what's Abaya's proof? Nisni Rekiva Machmer. The Mishnah should have just said Rekiva Machmer. What does it say? Rekiva Yachoichma Lahachmer. So there's two ways that Rishonim explain. One way they explain it is, why did the Mishnah have to say this whole long speech? Yachoichma Lahachmer. He should have said Lachmer. Or, other Rishonim explain, usually the terminology that's used in the Mishnah is oiser. What does he say, machmer? So it's a proof that it's not definitive, and we can't give somebody malchus for violating this type of a neder. The Ran says, from here we see, in this situation, we don't give malchus. But in any other situation, where a neder was verbalized through a yad, and one violated that neder, he would be chayiv malchus. And the Mefarshim go on to explain that even though, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, this entire concept of Yodis is the Rabbanan, it's not to be understood that Yodis are only a Nedim the Rabbanan. It's to be understood that the Rabbanan were the ones that told us how to understand the Pasuk, that the Pasuk is telling us that Yodis are an effective Neder. But once we learned from the Pasuk that Yodis make a nether, it's a nether Midaraisa. And one Chas V'Sholem violated the nether, he'd be Chuy of Malkus. Amar Papa. So Papa makes the following statement. If one made the statement, Minadina Menach, I'm going to be separated from you. The Kula Amaloi Pligi Dosser. Everybody agrees that that's considered a valid nether. It's a valid Yad. And here we have a Machloikus Rishoinim, how to understand this Gemara. The Ran and other Rishonim say, it's not just that he said Nadina Minach. He has to say Nadina Minach Shani Oichelach. Nadina Minach Shani Toimlach. If you just use the words Nadina Minach, as Shmuel taught us earlier, it's meaningless. Other Rishonim say that no, Nadina Minach is certainly a valid nether without anything else. It's a valid Yad. If somebody used the words Mishamtina Minach, we know Mishamtina, Ashamta, we're going to discuss more on the days, and Mitzashem is a Cheirim. That's not a lashon of a nether. And therefore, l'kula al-mashari, that's not a nether. And the machloikas rishonim, how to understand this? Some rishonim explain, and that's why most rishonim learn actually, that if you use the word mishamtina menach, there is no nether. It has nothing to do with nedarim. Other rishonim explain, it won't be a nether, but it will be a cheirim. And I will have to act towards this person as if he was in cheirim. And other rishonim learn, that if I just made the statement, Mishamtina Menach, indeed, it's not a nether. But if I said, Mishamtina Menach, Shani Oichaloch, that would be a nether. But my plea, where is there Machloika, says the Gemara? But Menudani Noch. If I use the word Menudani Noch. Rabbi Kiva Sava, Lishna Nadu Yahu, and therefore, it's an effective nether. Rabbanan Savri, Lishna the Mishamtinahu, and it's not an effective nether. Says the Gemara, or pligi the Rav Chizda. And this is in disagreement with what Rav Chizda said. That who gavered the Omer, Mishamtina ben Nichse de Brei, the Rav Yimri ba'Abba. There was a gentleman that said, Mishamtina, I'm making myself Mishamtina from all of the property of Rav Yimri. And now, Osul Kamei, the Rav Chizda, and he came to ask Rav Chizda, Shaila, is there a nedru or not? Omer, less the chosh l'chad Rav Akiva. Nobody agrees with what Rav Akiva said. Because obviously Rav Chizda holds that even Mishamtina, Rav Akiva will hold it's a nether, and I hold that it's not a nether. So obviously Rav Chizda holds the Mishamtina pligi that even by Shamtina is considered a nether. Amarav illa amarav. Since we spoke about Cheirim, the Gemara is going to bring some subjects relevant to Cheirim. Nedor befonav. If somebody was put into Cheirim and the person that was put into Cheirim was present when he was placed in Cheirim, the loch is a material loy el b'fonav. We could only release him from the cheirim when he's there. And Rishonim give a number of reasons why. One reason is because a cheirim that's done in the presence of the one who was put into cheirim is a very strong type of cheirim and can only be released when he's there. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that, let's say somebody was put into cheirim and he knows he's in cheirim, because he was put in Cheirim in the presence of Bezdin, whoever put him to Cheirim. And then he's going to be released, not when he's not there. He may not know that he was released. I know he was released. And I'll be speaking to him, and I'll think, what kind of person am I? I'm speaking to him when he's in Cheirim. And therefore, the only way to release him is in his presence. But according to the Apshat, he doesn't really have to be there when he's released. He just has to be notified that he was released. According to the first pshat, he actually has to be there. According to the second pshat, is that he has to be just be notified. Another pshat is that if I embarrassed him, that I put him to Cheirim when he was there, so I have to give him the courtesy of releasing him also in front of the people who put him to Cheirim. Again, according to that pshat, say to Mefarshim, he may say, you know what, I'm not looking for the COVID of releasing me in front of those people, just let me out of Cheirim if they're not here also. However, Nidor Shloi Befonov, if he was put into Cheirim when he wasn't there, Daloch is Ma'atirin Loi Bein Befonov Bein Shloi Befonov, he could be released whether he's there or not there. Says the Gemara, Om Rav Chanan Om Rav, a very important Gemara. Hashemei Askoros Hashem Pi Chaveroi. If somebody hears his colleague using Hashem's name in vain, that person who uses Hashem's name, who mentions Hashem's name in vain, must be put into Cheirim. Because the Aveira of mentioning Hashem's name is a very serious Aveira, and it deserves Cheirim. what the Avera? Some Rishonim say he violated the Pasuk of Hashem Elokecha Tira. Other Rishonim say he violated Lesisa Hashem Hashem Lashav. There's a lot of Haloch Lemaisa on this line of Gemara. One Shaila that the Pasuk can discuss is what happens if the person mentions Hashem's name not in Hebrew. Or even if he mentioned it in Hebrew, but not, he didn't say Hashem or Elokim. What is the halacha? It's machloikis hapoiskim. The Chai Odom and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are extremely machmer. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch speaks very strongly about using Hashem's name in vain, even if he says it in English or a different language. He says if somebody uses the word God, he's over this Gemara. And that's why people should be careful about using that word inappropriately. The Paiskim, however, do agree, most Paiskim, that if he said it b'shoigig, he didn't say it b'mezid, there the halacha is that the person would not be m'chuyiv cheirim. There are a number of halacha l'maisa shaylas. One shayla that comes up is if one is listening to a tape. He didn't make the tape, but he's listening to a tape where Hashem's name is being said, the full name of Hashem is being said, is that a violation of this Gemara? And the Paiskim say that certainly is a violation of this Gemara, and the wording of the Gemara is very clear. The Gemara doesn't just say that if somebody mentions Hashem's name, Hashomea, you're not allowed to hear Hashem's name. So listening to a tape, let's say somebody made a tape, a music tape, or whatever type of tape, and using Hashem's name in its proper pronunciation, it's awesome. The shaila comes up if somebody says a shir, and in the course of he saying a shir, he uses Hashem's name, and that shir is being recorded, and people will listen to the shir. There the paiskim are much more makel, because it's a shir, it's not just music. What is the halacha about erasing a tape that has Hashem's name on it? It's a machloikas paiskim. Most paiskim say that that's not considered mechikas Hashem. Ramosha actually is machmer. And the Paiskim say that if one has to erase such a tape, and actually one should erase such a tape, because having such a tape around could only cause that people should listen to the tape, you should use a child or a guy to erase the tape, not a Yisrael who's a Gadol.
You should be able to take a cassette tape like that to the
bed. I don't know. Then there's another Shaila. Then there's another very, very interesting common Shaila. And that's when we're learning a Shir, we're learning a Gemara. And the Gemara, or any Limud, has Hashem's name in it. Do we pronounce Hashem's name, or do we not pronounce Hashem's name? It's a very big machloikas. The Magen Avraham, Dorach HaShulchan, are machmer. They say you shouldn't, and that's typically what's done. We say Hashem. We don't say our Hashem's name. However, the Mishnah Berura and Ramosha hold there's a difference. If we're learning a Gemara, and it quotes, the Gemara is teaching us, let's say we learned Baruch Hashem together, Masechta Brachos. The Gemara taught us all the different brachas. There we shouldn't say out Hashem's name, we should say Hashem. But if we're quoting, if we're reading a pasuk, the Gemara is quoting a pasuk from Tanakh, when we read the pasuk, we should say Hashem's name. In fact, Ramosha says, it's not just that we should, we must, because otherwise you're not pronouncing the pasuk properly. And there's a issur of not pronouncing the pasuk properly. The Yaivitz holds that whenever one is learning, and Hashem's name is quoted in the Gemara, you should pronounce Hashem's name. And I could say that many times I heard the Klaus Mugger Rebbe speak, and every time I heard him speak and he read a pasuk, or he said something with Hashem's name, when he read it, he read a pasuk, he said Hashem's name, and those shiurim were recorded. Another shaila comes up, is where let's say somebody is in shul, and there's a very nice chazan, and he wants to sing along with the chazan. And he wants to say along with the chazan as he's saying the chazaras hashatz or other parts of the tefillah. The halacha is that one is certainly offered to do that. That's called hatzah shem shemayim levatala. Particularly, the Paiskim say it's offered when one is trying to help the Baal Kaira. Because besides the isser of hatzah shem shemayim levatala, if one says along the name, Hashem's name with the Baal Kaira, there's another isser. Because Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to be fashioned after the way Kabbalah HaTorah took place. When Kabbalah HaTorah took place, Hashem said the Torah, and Moshe was there as the I don't want to use the word assistant. He was the man in the middle. Every time we have Kriya Satira, the Baal Kore is taking the place, Kaviyochel, of Hashem, and the Gabbai is taking the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, who stands next to the Baal Kore. And therefore, if someone is going to help the Baal Kore, he's not following what happened by Kabbalah Satira, and it's wrong. So again, says the Gemara, if I hear my colleague say Hashem's name in vain, I have to put him to cherem. And if I don't, who adds my yibah nidui? Then that person himself should be in cherem. And again, the Rishonim say not that he's automatically in cherem, but the person who heard someone else mentions Hashem's name in vain and didn't take action, he should be put into cherem by others. Wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned in vain, Sham Anias Mitzuya, that's where we find Anias. And the Mefarshim explains, Rav Shlomo Kluger explains, that's how we could understand two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk is by Yaakov and Yitzchak. We know that when Yaakov came to Yitzchak to receive the brachas that Yitzchak really wanted to give to Esav, so Rashi says he kept on mentioning Hashem's name. Shem Shemaim Shog Befiv. So the pasuk says, V'yivrechehu Hashem. Since you keep on mentioning Hashem's name, you better get a bracha, otherwise you're in trouble. The same we find by Yosef. The pasuk says, V'hi Hashem im Yosef, V'hi ish metzliach, V'yivrechehu Hashem. Why didn't he need a bracha? Because V'hi Hashem Shem Imoy. He kept on mentioning Hashem's name. If you mention Hashem's name, there's a nius. So V'yivrechehu, he had to have a receive a bracha. It says the Gemara, V'anius is kamisa. Amias is the same as Misa. Shinema, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you could return to Mitzrayim. Ki Yugnesu Kol HaNoshim, Dosen HaAnvirim, who were your opponents, died. The Tanya, Kamakim Shanosnu Chacham Meneim, wherever Chazal put their eyes for a person who did the same wrong, Oy Misa, Oy Oini. So the Mepharshim say that the Gemara, the Ran discusses this at length, many Rishonim discuss this, that we know Abuch Shuvim Kameis. There are four people that are considered like the dead. Somebody who's an Ani, somebody who's a Suma, somebody who's a Metzaira, and somebody who has no children. So how do we know that Dosan and Aviram are considered like they're dead because they lost their money? Maybe they were one of the other categories. So the Ran explains why each one of those categories cannot be applicable. They can't be considered, they can't have been blind, because we know when the Parasha of Kairach, they said, Ha'enei Anoshim Ahem Tanakir. So obviously they had eyes, so they weren't blind. They can't be considered Mitzoroim, because the Pasuk says that they were B'toicha Machna, that they were in the middle of the Machna. And a Mitzoira is not allowed to be together with everyone else. So obviously they weren't Mitzoroim. Even though the Mepharshim ask on that, because the Mishnah says in Masechta Nagoim that the Mishnah says two things. First of all, the Gemara says that when Klai Yisroel were by Kabbalah Satira, they all got healed. So maybe in Mitzrayim they were Mitzrayim, and by Kabbalah Satira, they got healed. Moreover, the Mishnah says in Masechta Nagoyim Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, that even if somebody had a nega before Kabbalah Satira, that nega is not considered a nega. So maybe they had Nagoyim, but after Kabbalah Satira, that nega isn't a nega. So the simplest teretz that I saw to that kasha is that maybe halachically it's not considered a nega, but it's still a physical disease, and nobody wants mitzuroim, nobody wants lepers amongst the rest of them. So if they were b'taycha machna, they obviously weren't mitzuroim, nothing to do with halacha. Another pshat is that when they did the egel, or by the misoinonim, they all got back the diseases that they had, that they were healed from by Kabbalah Satira. So how could they have been b'taycha machna? Not a mitzuroim again. What about the fact that they had no children? So the Ran says a very simple thing. Even if someone who has no children is Choshev Kameis, what was the concern that Moshe Rabbeinu had? The concern that Moshe Rabbeinu had was that they're going to go back to Paroi. So Paroi won't see a person who has no money. Paroi won't pay attention to someone who's blind. Certainly someone who's a Metzaira. But the fact that they didn't have children wouldn't lessen their influence. That's the Ran's pshat. The Rosh says, different pshat. Because we know the pasuk by the parasha of Kairach says that they came out v'stapam, v'sbenayim v'stapam, so they ever had children. Why doesn't the Ran say that teretz? Because maybe in Mitzrayim they didn't have children, they only got children later. The Shlah says that the Gemara says, "Kamakim shenasnu chachamim einayim oimisa oini." So he says a beautiful pshat. We know the pasuk says, "Oirich yamim b'yamina b'smayla oishev chavit." Oirich yamim b'yamina is somebody who learns Torah l'shma is zayicha tarichas yamim. B'smayla, somebody who learns Torah shleim l'shma is oishev chavit. Kamakim shenasnu chachamim. We have two types of chachamim. We have chachamim that learn Torah l'shma. We have chachamim that learn Torah shleim l'shma. Kamakim shenasnu chachamim. The chachamim that learn Torah l'shma, they have the ability to bring misa, because they are oirich yamim. The talmid chacham that learn Torah shleim l'shma, they have oishev chavid in their hands. They could bring anis. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Abba, have a ka'im the kameder of Huna. I was standing in front of Huna. Shamalach itza the afka haskar shmaim levatala, haskar Hashem levatala, and I heard this woman that mentioned Hashem's name in vain. Shamta, and he put into chayrim v'shar lel alta v'apa, and he immediately released her. Shema minotla. So from here we can learn three halachas. Shema minot has shemei haskar Hashem picha veroi. If somebody, I hear somebody mentioning Hashem's name in vain, tzarach l'ndoisa, he should be put into chayrim. B'shema minot nidor b'fonov. He has to be released while he's there. What's the raya? So the Mefarshim explained, because he did not let the lady leave until he released her while she was there. You could release immediately. There's no halacha that you have to remain in chayim a certain amount of time. There's machloikas rishonim. How to understand this? Is this the halacha regarding all chayims? That a chayim, a person can be released from immediately? Or maybe it's only this type of chayim, but when somebody did mamish and isser, their halacha is that it would have to be put left in chayim for at least 30 days. Amrav gidla marav. Tamat chacham, menad alatzmoy. A tamat chacham could put himself into chayim, or mefil alatzmoy, and he could release himself from chayim. Says the Gemara, pshita, why not? Madatayim ein chavish, matar atzmoy beis asurim. Somebody who's in jail cannot release himself from jail. Kamash Malon, that person who puts himself into chayrim may. However, there's a machlokes rishonim. Is this halacha apply under all circumstances? Or only it's in this situation that the Gemara is now going to quote where he really wasn't mechuyev chayrim. There he can release himself. But if he's truly out mechuyev to receive a chayrim, there he cannot release himself. Ask the Gemara. Hechi dami, what is the situation? He had a mazut chesida. Mazut chesida, ki mechaye bar be rav shamta. If Talmud was mechuyev chayrim, meshamet nafshe bereisha. First, he would put himself into chayrim. Why? So the mefarshim give many pshatim. One pshat is, if he put himself into chayrim, he would remember to release that person, because he wanted to release himself, and that would be a reminder to release the Talmud Chacham. Another pshat is, he wanted to be mishtatif. He wanted to participate in the tsar of a Talmud Chacham. So if he's in Chayrim, I'll participate, I'll also be in Chayrim. Another pshat that I saw is that he still put a Talmud Chacham to Chayrim, and that's something that's very serious. So he brought himself a punishment that he too should be in Chayrim. And then I saw pshat from the close of Magareva. Very interesting pshat. He says that this pshat to him was so special that he wrote the pshat into his Gemara. And I saw that actually they found the Klos Magareb B'Shas, and he has this pshat in the Gemara written in. He says that the Baal Shem says, famous word from the Baal Shem, that the Baal Shem says, if I see somebody do an Avera, that means I must have some of that, I must have done something of that Avera too. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring on a person that he should see another Jew doing an Avera, unless he might have done something of that Avera too, and this is a reminder that he too needs to do tshuva. So it says, that's pshat in the Gemara. Whenever he puts somebody into chayrim, that means he saw or was aware of somebody doing an avera. That means there was a message to him too, that he wasn't perfect. And that's why he put himself into chayrim. Says the Gemara, Kim chayi bai b'rav shamta, when a Talmud Chacham was mechuy of chayrim, m'shamet nafshe b'reisha, he would first put himself into chayrim, v'chod m'shamet bai b'rav, and then we put the Talmud Chacham into chayrim. However, v'chayi l'beisei, when he would come home, Sharil Nafshe, he would release his own chayrim, v'hadu Sharilei, and then he would release the chayrim of the Talmud Chacham. Why? So, firstly, the Rishonim explained, because he wanted to be able to associate with the members of his family. And if he's in chayrim, he can't associate himself with his family. So he made sure that before he came home, he took himself out of chayrim. The Ran, brings down here an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim, that if one is in Chayrim, does it affect his relationships with his family? Our Gemara clearly indicates that it does. What about with his wife? Is his wife, do we say, Ishto Kegufoy? And if he's in Chayrim, it doesn't apply to his wife? Or if he's in Chayrim, it even applies to his wife? It's actually a Machlokes Rishonim. So he took himself out of Chayrim first, and then he took the Talmud Chacham out of Chayrim. Why himself first? Shouldn't he worry about the other person first? So Rishonim say that there's a klal of Yovai Zakai V'yechaper. First make yourself a Zakai, first make yourself pure, and then you can purify someone else. So that's why he was careful first to take himself out of Chayrim, and after he took himself out of Chayrim, then he took the other person out of Chayrim.